Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our midst. And we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the third Sunday of Advent. It's a season of preparation for Jesus' arrival. And something that I've learned in my life is that preparation can lead to expectations. And expectation will be our focal point today. It's natural as you prepare for something that you will have expectations regarding the outcome. Think about preparing for a road trip. Some of you are probably in the midst of that. You prepare the vehicle, you prepare supplies and snacks, you prepare clothing, you might even prepare for emergencies. But as you prepare, you will inevitably have expectations for how that road trip is going to go, how long the drive will take, what kind of traffic, how your mates in the car will behave, how much gas. Or think about a recipe, a new recipe. As you prepare the food according to the recipe, you have an expectation how it's going to taste. How many of you have prepared a recipe but left out an ingredient and it didn't taste good? I've done that. Okay, many of you. You have expectations for the end product. As I think about expectations, my mind circles back to the beginning of our marriage. The beginning of our marriage is 35 years ago tomorrow. Kim and I shared many expectations as we entered into marriage together, especially regarding our desire for children. And during the first 4 years of our marriage, instead of fertility, we experienced infertility. So that was not what we expected. We wanted children, but we were unable to conceive. And our unfulfilled expectations were really painful during that season. For 4 years, as we longed for children, we watched friends welcome children into their homes. Many friends who were trying not to have children welcomed children. And yet we were just crying out to God for our own. We trusted in the Lord through that season, and we were frustrated with him. We were disappointed that God wasn't following our plan. We didn't know why. Looking back, we're very thankful that God blessed us according to his plan and his big picture, not just according to our own expectations. Where now we can look at our four children and our one child who died through a miscarriage, two biological children, two adopted children. And we can see how God blessed us according to his plan. Expectations are at the heart of the season of Advent. As we prepare to celebrate Jesus' Advent, we have in mind both the celebration of God's Son in his arrival 2,000 years ago when he was born as one of us. And we also have in mind his future, his not yet arrival. Consider the expectations that the Jewish people had regarding their Messiah in the first century before Jesus was born. They were familiar with Old Testament prophecies, the God-given predictions regarding God's promised deliverance by the Messiah. And they were actively looking, actively watching, actively waiting. They expected the Messiah to be a conquering king, full of God's Spirit. They expected him to be from the royal lineage of King David. They expected him to be a king who would free all Jewish people from their suffering. They expected a king in particular who would execute vengeance on their enemies as he delivered them. Now, their expectations were grounded in God's word as they read the Old Testament, as they read the prophets. That's where their expectations came from. This morning, we heard one of those prophecies for God's deliverance in our reading from Isaiah 35. It's in your little leaflet, and I'm just going to take a look at the first seven verses. To a people who were struggling, God said through the prophet Isaiah, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing." Think about that. The wilderness, the desert is going to bloom. That is deliverance. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Then verse 3, God says through the prophet, "Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you." The Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming, God says. So those who are anxious and fearful, be strong and fear not. Verse 5. Then at that time, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame person leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Those are some of the expectations. Well, unfortunately for the Jewish people, for the world, or maybe fortunately, those expectations weren't fulfilled as they were anticipated. God was faithful in his fulfillment of the prophecies, but not as the Jewish religious leaders, not as the Jewish people expected. Instead of a warrior Messiah exacting vengeance as he delivered God's people, God the Father sent God the Son to be born in flesh, to live as one of us, to experience pain and suffering, to die on the cross, and on the third day to be resurrected from the grave. Jesus was not the Messiah that they expected. The people expected deliverance from Rome, from their oppressors in the first century. By Jesus' resurrection, God delivered the people from the much more insidious enemy of sin and eternal death. We can look back on Jesus' first advent, his life and his ministry, his death and his resurrection, and with careful study of the Old Testament, we can see how he fulfilled to the word every one of the prophecies. You see, we have the big picture as we look back. But in the first century, the Jews didn't have the big picture. The Jews Jesus didn't bring the deliverance and the salvation that the people expected. Even John the Baptist missed it. That's stunning. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, he who leapt in his mother's womb at Jesus' presence, he knew the story surrounding his birth and Jesus' birth. He was the one who declared at Jesus' baptism, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Even he missed it. In our reading from Matthew chapter 3, we hear John's own doubts. "Go and ask Jesus, are you the one to come, or shall we look for another?" Sorry, Matthew 11. "Are you the one who's to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus was not the Messiah that faithful Jews expected, and their unmet expectations led to confusion and doubt, led to frustration, led them to anger toward Jesus and his disciples. Unmet expectations tend to do that to us. Confusion, doubt, frustration, and anger are the fruit and can be easy fruit from unmet expectations. Think back on my family. As we suffered our years of infertility, we experienced all of those confusion, doubt, frustration, and anger. Even as God was working out his plan for us in our lives, we were experiencing those things. We didn't have the big picture. We obviously did not know, nor could we know, what he was doing, what his big picture looked like. We expected blessing and not sadness and suffering. But what we came to discover is that through our suffering, God worked to bring us his blessing through his plan in his timing. And our family looked very different from what we expected. And we give thanks and praise to him for what he did. Unmet human expectations can lead you into despair. They can be devastating. But keeping God's big picture in mind will help you be protected from the devastation that can come from unmet expectations. God's big picture will hold you up in the midst of those unmet or disappointed expectations, enabling you to be a witness for God's love, character, and salvation, even in the midst of hard, even in the midst of pain and suffering. So many people now in this deconstruction of Christian faith that's epidemic, so many people are losing their faith because of unmet expectations. This isn't what I expected. Keeping God's big picture in mind can protect you. The early church suffered persecution and suffering and death because of their faith in Jesus, and they didn't lose heart. You have to ask why. It's because they knew Jesus' word. They knew his teaching. Their expectations for their life as witnesses to the gospel, to the good news, their expectations included persecution and suffering because they knew God's word. The disciples weren't surprised by suffering. That doesn't take away from how badly they suffered, from what they suffered, but they weren't surprised. We heard James encouraging the church in his letter, in our reading today, to be patient until the Lord Jesus returns. And that's going to mean for us being patient when our expectations are unmet. When evil and sin still impact our lives and the lives of those around us. James told the early church, pray in the midst of suffering. Sing praise in the midst of joy. Is anyone among you sick? Let them sit at home and mope and wonder where the church is. That's not what verse 14 says. It's what we tend to do. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church to come to them, to encourage them, to pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. We have a recipe to reach out to one another because you need one another. The disciples did not despair or lose hope because they had the big picture. They knew that suffering and persecution and even death might result from their faith. So keeping that big picture in mind, they endured to the end as witnesses for the gospel, maintaining hope as they suffered in the name of their Messiah, Jesus Christ. So you're probably thinking, so what is the big picture, Bill? Spell it out. Well, the big picture of the gospel is way bigger than we can fully comprehend. This is a summary that I found helpful in my life. And it's four simple points, the way I like things. God's big picture. God is on his throne. Jesus is alive and interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is with us and in us. And God is faithful and he can be trusted. So this is true for all of you who have faith in Jesus. This is the big picture. If you don't yet know this as your truth by faith, I hope that this maybe softens your heart, maybe leads you to reach out, to ask. This is true for all who have faith in Jesus. And it comes in the midst of a reality that we are sinful men and women. We are not perfect and we live in a broken and sinful world. Our reality is that we will make mistakes and we will suffer the consequences of our mistakes. And nothing is too heavy or too severe to cut us off from the gift that we can have through repentance, confession, repentance, and returning to the Lord from our mistakes. But at the same time that we're going to be making mistakes, bad things happen in this broken world. I mentioned in the midst of prayers the tragedy that happened in Boston with a shooting. And then between shoveling this morning and getting to church, the news broke about a terrorist attack on a Hanukkah celebration on the beach in Australia. And I can't remember how many are dead, but I think it was close to 20. Bad things happen in this broken world. It therefore should not surprise you in your life when you regularly, even daily, experience unrealized and shattered expectations. I contend that with this big picture in view, even in the midst of trial and hardship, you can live with God's hope and peace and joy. Hope and peace and joy in this life is the fruit of your new life in Jesus. You have it by faith. It's hope, peace, and joy not available anywhere else or through anything else. And it is possible even in the midst of unmet expectations. But you also have to be aware that the enemy, the devil, is prowling about like a roaring lion. And he will seek to use unrealized expectations or unmet expectations to turn you bitter and angry and sad and depressed and to lead you into deconstruction of your faith. The enemy wants to strip from you the peace and hope and joy that you have in the Lord Jesus by your faith. How quickly people lose it when they're disappointed. Now, I can just speak for myself. How quickly I lose it when my expectations aren't met. Our culture around us proclaims the worldview that we deserve to be healthy. We deserve to have ample provision. We deserve not to suffer. It's a lie. But yet many in the church have embraced this. Christians have embraced this idea, expecting as they follow Jesus that they won't struggle, that they won't be sick, that God will protect them from suffering. That's the prevalent worldview in our Western culture, and it's a toxic lie to our Christian faith. If God loved me, he would not let this happen, or he would have given me what I wanted. That's a lie. God promises that he's always with you and that we will not understand as we endure persecution and suffering as we follow him. As God's people, we need to hold our own expectations loosely and keep God's big picture in view. I found it helpful daily throughout my day to remember this four-point view of God's big picture, especially when I experience my own unmet expectations. Because when I feel that frustration and that anger, sometimes quickly, sometimes it takes me a while to get there. When I remind myself of these 4 points, the practice has helped me avoid wallowing in questions like, why? Why did God allow this? Why doesn't God love me? Why did God do this? Instead, with this big picture in mind, I can ask myself, why am I angry? Why am I upset? I know God's on his throne. I know his Holy Spirit is with me and in me. I know that Jesus is interceding on my behalf and that I can trust God. He's faithful. So why am I feeling these feelings? I can allow myself to feel my disappointment and then give it to God because I know these things. Let's read these together. First, God is on his throne. Second, Jesus is alive and interceding for us. Third, the Holy Spirit is with us. And finally, God is faithful and can be trusted. That practice helps me to stay in touch with God's picture, allowing God to minister to me, allowing me to humbly reach out to others when I need support, when I'm struggling. And in his presence, this returns me to his presence, and in his presence, I instead find peace, hope, and joy rather than anger and frustration and bitterness. As you live this way, the world will take notice. As you don't react the way the rest of the culture does when your expectations aren't met, as you experience God's love in the midst of disappointment and suffering, you're going to look different. And the world will take notice. And they may even ask you, I know that's not what you wanted. How is it that you still have peace? How is it that you could still minister to others? How is it that you can still minister to me? Living according to his big picture. In doing that, you will be a light for the gospel. This Advent season, I pray you will embrace God's big picture in the midst of your own lives and expectations, and that as you do, you will experience his love, his hope, his peace, and his joy in a way that proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.